Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Well, I can't yet say Happy New Year's, but this is absolutely the last show of the year. Well, Mr. Terry Benjamin, I hope you are standing by.
I'm right here.
I had a feeling you were right there.
I can't wait.
Oh, wow. Terry, let me tell you. I know, right? This is an awesome topic. I see that you're going to be talking today about why sometimes these resolutions that we make don't work, but I love the fact that you have a solution that does work for the people. As we go into the new year, from what I can read the post on Facebook, people are really sensing that, you know, it's time to move to another level, go to new dimensions, start something new. Everybody is pretty sick and tired of this sad economy and looking for ways that they can take their own power. So, and we know that happens at any age. So we are excited. Merry Christmas to those of you. I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and enjoyed your family and friends. And I want to say a special, special good morning and, well, good evening to Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, who is, I believe, is calling all the way from Tokyo, Japan. Paul, good morning and God bless. Well, I know if you're in Tokyo, then it's good evening because it's around 8 o'clock at night there. But, yes, we are so excited, Paul, that you found us. I know you've been looking around and we've been busy, but, wow, it's a pleasure to have you as always. Terry, wait till you meet Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, talking about a dynamo. Certainly, certainly. We are so blessed to have him be a part of the show, and we certainly miss him for the weeks that he wasn't here. But, yes, he is back in Tokyo, Japan. So this show is going around the world. Just wanted you to know that, Terry.
Oh, great.
Yes,
as it should. As it should, because we're not talking about little things. We're talking about big things.
Yes. Big. And so I know you're ready to jump in because I know you got a lot to share and an hour goes by fast. So I'm going to turn it over to you and I'll just come back, you know, with some comments or question as you're going along. But Terry, take it away.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Good morning to you. Good morning to the listeners and happy New Year. And I say happy New Year because this is a new year. I think one of the essence of the Sexy at 60 philosophy is that we are future thinkers, that we think not about today but tomorrow and beyond that. I think that achievers are those who have vision, and we have a vision that is going to supersede anything that we have done in the past. Anything that we will do in the future is based on the fact that we are future thinkers, that we think about what's going to be, not just 1 year from now, 5, 10, 20 years from now. The reason I say that resolutions don't work is because it's just not enough. It's not enough to think something. It's really, the essence is to do something. And I want to start by really defining what I mean by affirmations. I think a lot of times we talk, but we don't really get the full essence of what we're talking about because we don't use the dictionary. And I like to have my students, if they give me a word, if they use a word in one of the essays, I want them to know what that word is. And so beginning with affirm, according to the dictionary, to affirm is to declare positively and be willing to stand by the truth. Again, to declare positively and to be willing to stand by the truth. I affirm that it is possible to be sexy at 60 and beyond. And I stand by that truth because every day is something I talk about. But affirmation is taking it a step further. Saying I'm sexy at 60 is affirmation. Affirmation that I say to myself, and it works for me and for other people as well. But affirmation is defined as follows. Act of asserting or affirming something. Act of asserting or affirming something as being true. That which is asserted, confirmation or ratification. Again, not just put something on the table, but to keep on dealing with that until it becomes true, until it becomes a reality. A lot of people are talking about prosperity for the new year. They want to be rich. They want to have more than they had this year. And that's fine. I think what happens is that people don't understand that you make the resolution to become rich, but you don't understand what the full ramifications of that is. And what I'm saying to the listeners is the fact that we really have to understand that it is about our thinking. You cannot change your life by doing the same thing that you did last year. If you do the same thing in 2012 that you did it in 2011, unless it's progressive, you just sort of wasting your time. You're sort of really standing in place. But the thing is that we want to think better thoughts so we can have a better life. And I want to go all the way back to 1903. And 1903 was a book entitled As a Man Thinketh. And this was written by James Allen. Now, this was in 1903. And in this book, he talks about Proverbs. And I just want to begin by talking about this book and really sort of taking it to what we're talking about in terms of affirmations. And he says here, right in the first paragraph, he says here, this is James Allen from a book called As a Man Thinketh. He says here, the book of Proverbs, that is chapter 23, verse 7. The book of Proverbs proclaims, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This adage reaches out to every condition and circumstance of human endeavor. Each of us is literally what we think, our character being the complete sum of all our thoughts. And I want to read that again. It says here, the book of Proverbs 23:7 proclaims, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. This adage reaches out to every condition and circumstance of human endeavor. Each of us is literally what we think, our character being the complete sum of our thoughts. And what happens is that we think these thoughts, and we, in our mind is such a beautiful mechanism that it helps us to move towards it. I'll never forget, I used to, in the morning, I used to ride the train into Elizabeth. And I would always meet this guy on the train, and we would have conversations, and this was like maybe 10 years ago. And I told him what kind of house I wanted, and I told him that I really wanted to have this particular house because I wanted to do certain things in my house. And at this time, I had no prospects of getting a house. I didn't have the money, didn't have the resource or anything like that there, but this was in my mind that I wanted to get this house, and we talked about it, and we talked about it. Every time we would talk, he would talk about his house and the house that he had and the things he did to get what he wanted. And we would talk back and forth and back and forth. And it's funny, when I got my house, it was the exact house that we had talked about. And I never saw that guy again. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he is. He may have passed for all I know. But we had these conversations, and I was able to talk about what I really wanted. And again, this was the greatest thing, because a lot of times we have to talk these things into the future and have them happen. Because again, I think for 2012, one of the affirmations that I would like to put out there, and this is from Louise Hay, and I consider her the mother of affirmations. She is the founder and operator of Hay House. Hay House is a publishing company that publishes spiritual books. And she is a master of affirmation. And one of the things she says, a couple of things she says that I really like, is she says here, and she says the way you do the affirmations is that you go into your bedroom or your bathroom, and you look at, in the mirror, and you look at your own eyes in the mirror, and you speak to yourself. And you say something like, "Terry, everything I need to know is revealed to me. Everything I need comes to me." And you look in your eyes and you say that to yourself, and you say it every day, and you say it a few times during the day. Like I say, "Terry, you are sexy at 60. I say, "Terry, you have more than you need. You have true abundance. You are living in the overflow," which is something that Reverend Michael Beckwith always talks about. Michael Bernard Beckwith, he's one of the people featured in the film and the book called The Secret. And he always talks about living in the overflow, living in the fact that you have more than you need. And one more thing about this whole thing about being rich, we have to understand that for a lot of people, being rich is a very negative thing. But it's only negative if it's selfish. I like the fact that people are talking about this in a broader sense. Like, for example, in his book, Super Rich, Russell Simmons talks about the essence of being super rich, and he sort of breaks it down. And I'm going to read from his book here, and it's about redefining rich, what rich is. And Russell Simmons says here, "The first is that in order to be truly happy and realize the full potential of your life, you must always try to move toward enlightenment, a state where you are fully conscious of and connected to the world around you and the God inside of you, where you walk through life with a smile on your face and give without expectation. The second is that the road to enlightenment is paved with gold. That is because when you're truly conscious and give without expectation, you'll be so attractive to the world that every toy, every material possession will find its way to you." And it's so funny because I can attest to that just this Christmas. I tell my family and friends, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I said, look, Christmas, as far as I'm concerned, it's for the kids, for the grandkids, for the nieces, the nephews, and the little kids. I think we should make it a special day for them. They should have a day where they can come, and we traditionally, as a family, we have a big brunch, and everybody's invited to this. We go. This year was at my daughter-in-law's house. She just had a baby, so we have a new baby in the family. We go over there, and we have, you know, our traditional breakfast, and I tell them not to buy me anything. But, of course, Lisa, they don't listen to me. And so they blessed me this Christmas with a Kindle Fire. It's an e-book reader. But it's a little bit more than that because it's not only e-book reader, but it's also I can watch videos on it. I can listen to music. There's internet radio on there. And so I'm having a ball with this thing. I mean, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I have a new arsenal in my weaponry, so to speak. And it's a beautiful thing. As a matter of fact, I can order free books or books as low as $1.99. And one of the books that I ordered and is in my Kindle is a book called 25 Days to Better Thinking and Better Living. And this is by Dr. Elder and Dr. Richard, a social scientist. And the thing that I wanted to really to look at in terms of affirmations and also in terms of education, I think I said here in our promo, I said here, you have to learn to be the leader that you were born to be and that this is adult education. But it's also self-education and self-development. And the thing I like about this book here, toward the end, it says 25 days. On the 24th day, it says educate yourself. And I just want to read this and then into our discussion. And it says here, and I really believe this, it says, although many people complete many years of school, including undergraduate and graduate studies, few people are truly educated. Why? Because few people have learned how to learn meaningful ideas. They're not learners for life. Instead, they form a belief system and then defend it for the rest of their lives. There is little development in their views. They do not expand the horizons of their mind. To the extent that they do develop, they tend to do in a certain narrow technical way, such as learning skills for succeeding on the job or learning skills needed for a hobby. They lack the intellectual skills and traits unique to an educated person. So, again, you can have your PhD, MA, BA, AA, whatever, your degree from the School of Hard Knocks, but you're not truly educated unless your education is focused. I mean, I talk about learning for life, lifetime learning. Well, that is the key, you know. There's always something to learn. I got this Kindle, and I've been playing with it and doing different applications and finding out how to use this and how to use that. And it's all to the good because it's going to help me even more. And the last thing I want to do before we start talking, I want to just refer to a book entitled How to Get Out of Your Own Way. How to Get Out of Your Own Way is a book by Tyrese Gibson, you know, the soul singer, a young man, but a young man with a purpose and a young man with a lot to say. And in his book, he says something I really, really believe. A lot of times I think with the self-help books, I think these books are good because many times, I know for myself, they have told me what I know already. I notice in my heart, I notice in my soul different things. But sometimes when I read these books, I get that affirmation, I get that confirmation that I am on the right track because nobody likes to be on the wrong track all the time. That's disheartening. That's not productive. And really, ultimately, it's draining. But when you read something that affirms and confirms what you believe, but in a true way, oh, man, that's energy. So I want to just read, for this is from the book entitled How to Get Out of Your Own Way by Tyrese Gibson. And he says here, and this is Tyrese, I dream with my eyes open. I want to become what I see. When I was younger, I was always looking around for something better because anything had to be better than what I was exposed to. And I still do that. Sometimes we need to see things in order to discover what we want to become. I want you to be able to say, I see the invisible. I hear in silence. I climb invisible stairs, having faith in God with no points of reference. I want to become more like the people around me, like the mentors and the pastors who impacted my life in a positive way. I saw what they were doing with my own eyes, and I was influenced by what I saw. We should all dream with our eyes open. Look around and see the positive things in other people's lives and actions and imagine better for yourself. And I think that's the essence of the whole philosophy of being sexy at 60, looking around at people who are 60, between 60 and 69, and who still got it going on, who still have that passion, who still have that hunger for excellence, who still have that positive attitude, who still have that creativity, and who still have the energy to exercise and to be out there in the world. And in a final analysis, in 2012, I wish you, Lisa, and listening audience, peace. and that's P-E-A-C-E, and that's translated as passion, excellence, attitude, creativity, and energy. And I think with that, and the fact that we want to be future thinkers, that we want to accelerate our thinking, not just to 2012, but 2012 and beyond, and to be that person that we want to be around. I think I always search for like-minded people because I love being around those kind of people. But you can't be around those kind of people unless you're that kind of person. We always say what we want in our lives, what kind of woman we want, what kind of man we want. We want that good man. We want that good woman. But the final analysis, are you that good man? Are you that good woman? If you want to be around future thinkers, are you a future thinker? Or are you just mired in the past, mired in your comfort zone, which is easy, but there is no growth and development in the comfort zone. And I affirm that if you look in the mirror this morning and every morning and say, I am going to be the best person I can be for 2012 and love my family and friends and my students like I've never loved them before, I believe you will definitely have a year that is exceptional, a year of your breakthrough, because I think we all have an opportunity to break through, but we can only do that by realizing that we have to educate ourselves, that we have to put education at the forefront of our mental, spiritual, financial, educational lives, mm-hmm. because again, in the final analysis, that's what it's about. And so that's what I have to say right there, and maybe you can catch up with me and just let's talk. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. No, good. That's good. So, you know, well, first of all, congratulations on getting your Kindle reader,
thank
Kindle,
you.
Right? Right.
I'm up to date now.
Oh, look at the radio. Your train rides are going to be so much better now.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, it's almost like, again, it's like having an entertainment center in my hand. But for me, it's an educational center because it's just so many resources in the Kindle. I thought about it. A lot of things in my whole thing. My resources, my money, and basically is for my family, for my household, you know. I mean, I buy very little for myself, but I have a lot, so I don't need a whole lot. But it's just so interesting, like I was saying before, once you open up yourself to other possibilities, things come to you. You don't have to worry about things. Like Russell Simmons says, you know what? If you give without expectation, you get so much back that you can't even imagine. I tell Lisa, this past year has been such a great thing for me because, you know, I started editing other people's books, and I got a whole list of books who I'm editing, and when these books come out, you probably won't see my name at all on the books unless you read the acknowledgments, which very few people read, but I know when I go into these bookstores, I will see these books, and I know that I had a hand in these books, and for me, that's more satisfaction than just saying, oh, you know, Terry Benjamin, he did this and did that. I like to enjoy my success in silence, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, very few people love that. So you're definitely one in a million. Definitely you're one in a million. But most people like to see our names up in lights. People like to be acknowledged for their, you know, gifts. Not everyone, of course, but the majority of people. And so we try to give people their props, you know, when we can. You know, even the Word of God tells us to, you know, well, I don't know, people say it's in the Bible. I'm not quite sure if it's there, but I can search it out easier now and find out. If we say, you know, give honor to, I think it does say something about giving honor to whom honor is due and things of that nature. But the good thing about, you know, this being, like, you know, this is a new year. We're already there, really. And I love the fact that you're talking about, I just love the fact that you're talking about becoming what you see. So you said, I dream with my eyes open.
Yeah.
And so you get that vision for what it is that you want to be, and then you become that thing that you can see, as opposed to just going at it in the dark, which we know even if you walk around your house in the dark, even though you live there 50 years, you still may stumble over things because there's no light to illuminate what's ahead of you. But when you get a vision for where you want to go, for what you want in life, now you have something to reach for, something to work toward, you know, those affirmations, the affirmation, whether it's to lose weight, to get out of debt, to save more, to invest more, to love more, even in loving others. You know, visualize yourself being a loving person. And then affirm that.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, again, my whole thing, I'm giving you two examples of how this thing works for me. Number one, you know, again, In-House Publishing is a published company that Tobias Foss and I established in the year 2003. And since then, we've published three books we wrote together and two new authors, and we plan to do some more things. But one of the things in terms of visualization that I've developed with Tobias, I said, you know, a lot of times when I'm working on a book, Lisa, I'll ask Tobias to go to our visual people, our people who design our book covers, and say, you know, I want you to actually make a book cover. I haven't finished this book yet, but I want you to do the book cover, because as I'm working on a book, I want to visualize a book cover. So basically, what I'm working on, it's already done. You know, it's finished. You know, and the second thing is, this week I was blessed to be able to go to a Broadway show. Like I said before, I don't spend a whole lot of money on, you know, my own pleasure. I wanted to take my wife, our anniversary, we just had our anniversary in November, our first year anniversary of our wedding, and I wanted to take her to see a Broadway show. Of course, I didn't have the money, but I had the thought. And so, Lisa, this is how things work. I'm sitting in my class one night, and I, you know, students are coming in, and I reach them at the door, you know, how you doing, you know, coming in, because I want to make them feel welcome, you know, to come to class, because I'm going to teach, but you know what, I'm here to learn as well. Make a long story short, I'm sitting at my desk, one of my students comes in, and she looks at her face all frowned up and whatnot. I said, what's wrong? She said, I'm disappointed. I said, what's wrong? She said, I went to this talk show in New York City, you know, the show actually called The Talk, and you know, I was looking for a big, you know, maybe a big gift. I don't know what. I'm not saying something about Oprah, you know, because she would give us big things. And she said, all I got from the talk show, I was able to be in the studio audience, but then they gave us this voucher for this play. And I don't really, I'm not a play-going person, but I don't really need this. And I said, well, give it to me, you know, and I'll use it. I mean, I love to go to plays, you know, whatever play it is. It doesn't make a difference to me, because when you go to Broadway, you see excellence. Whatever the play is, I don't even care if it's a play I don't even like. I know those people are putting forth excellence. And the thing is, they're doing like 6 days a week and sometimes twice a day. And for me, that takes a lot of stamina, takes energy, and et cetera. So I said, look, give me the voucher. So she gave me the voucher, Lisa, and I looked at the voucher, and it was a voucher for two tickets to The Mountaintop, the play on Broadway starring Samuel L. Jackson and Angela Bassett. And I said, wow, you know, this is the play that I wanted to go see. And even greater than that is that I go to the theater, I go to New York a couple of days earlier to get the tickets. So me and my wife just have to jump on the train and go to the city. So I go to the ticket office, and they give me, first of all, I said, I really would like to go on the 24th, but at night. You said, well, there's no evening performance, there's only performance at 2 o'clock, the matinee. So I said, okay. So it gives me these tickets, and I see it's an orchestra. An orchestra are the best seats in the house. But I don't realize how good these seats are until I get to the theater. And I'm in the theater, Lisa, and I'm sitting like four rows away from the stage. So I'm seeing everything. I'm seeing anything they didn't want me to, because I can even look behind the stage to see what's going on and whatnot. But the play was fantastic. An hour and 40 minutes of Samuel L. Jackson and Angela Bassett. It's about the last night before Dr. King was assassinated. And what happens is this woman, she's supposed to be a maid that comes to him to, you know, to bring him his coffee and his newspaper. But in the course of the play, we realize that she's a little bit more than that. You know, matter of fact, she's an angel that has come to help him make his transition. And it's just fantastic acting, fantastic response. And I'm looking around the audience, and everybody is enjoying themselves to the utmost. And I'm saying again, I did not have the money to go to this play. I definitely had the money for orchestra seats, but in the, again, as you, I think you share your thoughts, and I believe what Michael Beckwith talks about, circulation, the law of circulation. When you put things out, they come back to you in different ways. That's why I don't get upset about money. My whole thing is I love to pay my bills because that's circulation. I love to get money to my family and friends because that's circulation. I never lend money to my family and friends. If I have it, you have it. You know, it's a law of circulation because a lot of times people are afraid to put out because they're afraid they won't get back. But I find for myself that the more you put out, the more you get back, but you get it back in different ways. You know, I've helped a lot of people get their books published and written, et cetera, and I've never asked for a whole lot of credit for that. I mean, there's some people I charge, some people I don't charge. It depends on the circumstance. But when I put something out there, I get it back in so many different ways. So I'm sitting there, my own business in my class, I get tickets to a Broadway show. I remember some years ago, I was reading about this group called Return to Forever, which is a super jazz group. Guys have been playing together for years and decided to have a reunion. They were going to do a worldwide tour. They were finishing in New York City. Again, I had no way to get tickets for that particular play. I'm sitting in my classroom again. A student walks in. She says, Professor Benjamin. I said, yes. She says, do you like jazz? I said, I love jazz. As a matter of fact, when I'm writing, a lot of times my background is jazz. You know, sometimes I think I write so I can have an excuse to listen to like 4 or 5 hours of jazz nonstop. She said, well, look, I have these tickets for this jazz show. I'm not into jazz, but maybe you like it. So she gives me 4 tickets. I look at the tickets, and it's to the Return to Forever concert. Well, needless to say, I had a trip that I took myself and some of my friends. We enjoyed this concert. That's how we got a chance to meet Lawrence Fishburne before he was hired to be on the CSI show. My point is that you never know what you will get back once you put something out there. But you know what? I know one thing. You'll never get anything unless you put something out. How about that? You know, that's a guarantee, okay? If you give nothing, you get nothing. How about that? It's like, you know, if you want something, you got to open up your hands. Because with a closed fist doesn't get anything. Like I tell my kids, you know what? I said, you know, a closed mouth does not get fed. If you want something, you got to tell me. I can't read your mind. I know I'm an intelligent man, but I haven't mastered mind reading as yet. But then again, there's time.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, the law of circulation, man, put it out there. Your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, you never know who you might inspire. You know, because I know, and same with you, I know, because we've been doing this teaching thing a long time, and I know at least people walk up to you and say, you know, Professor Williams, 20 years ago I had a class with you, and it changed my life. And that was probably the student who was a knucklehead, right, who wouldn't do their homework. They wouldn't do what they're supposed to do. But 10 years later, they get it.
Right.
And it's almost like I want to smack them. I said, why did you get it before? He said, no, because I had to go to your class and I dropped out of school. I got pregnant. I did this and whatnot. And now, you know what? The light bulb is in my head. Now I'm 30 and 40. It's not too late, of course, but you know what? If I would have got it before, that's why the whole thing with the Sexy at 60 concept philosophy, that's not for you and I, at least. I'm talking to people who I'm really, it's really for people who are 20 and 30 and 40, people who are not even near 60. If you get this now, man, if you get this now, just imagine what your life will be like. I'm giving you like a bar of gold. And you hold up to that gold bar in 20, 30 years down the road, it'd be worth even more. But I'm giving it to you right now. And hopefully you understand it, because so many of us, when we're given something and we don't realize the value of it, we'll throw it away. I mean, a lot of times in our black history, in our black culture, we take our gospel music for granted. We take our jazz music for granted. We take our hip-hop music for granted. But yet we put it down and other people overtake it. It's so funny because right now on Broadway, you know, there's 3 big plays on Broadway. One is in previews. There's The Mountaintop with Samuel L. Jackson and Anza Bassett. There's Stick Fly, which is produced by Alicia Keys and starring Mekhi Phifer and Ruben Santiago Hudson. And there's another play, it's a revival of the classic Porgy and Bess, would order a McDonald's.
Right.
Rare in there. So, again, and what's happening, if you look at, because one of the things that I encourage our listeners to do is read and read more, but not just books, but read magazines as well, because on the current issue of Black Enterprise Magazine, it's entitled The New Look of Broadway. And on the cover, they have Alicia Keys, they have Kenny Leon, who directed The Mountaintop, but he also directed Stick Fly. And on this play, in The Mountaintop, Branford Marcellus provides the music, and in Stick Fly, Alicia Keys provides the music. And so what they're saying is that Broadway, the Broadway scene, is an opportunity for Black people to invest, you know?
Mm.
Because, I mean, it's funny with Black folks. I mean, I believe that we get what we really want. Because a lot of times people say, well, I don't have money to do this, I don't have money to do that. But you know what? If they really want to do it, they will do it. I remember when I went on my first cruise, I mean, I said 75% of the people on the cruise were Black African-Americans. You know, you go to Broadway theaters, and we come in busloads, you know. So I'm saying that we're supporting something that we need to look at a little more. It's so funny because I love when these people go on Broadway. For example, Denzel Washington. It says here, and I'm looking at this magazine. It says here, at the time of his death in 2005, the two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright August Wilson was one of the country's most esteemed dramatists. Those plays had mixed commercial success. Now, this is August Wilson who passed not too long ago, in 2005. But here's the point. The 2010 revival of Fences starring Denzel Washington, and listen to this. Now, it was a short-run revival starring Denzel Washington, grossed more than $12.9 million. To date, Fences was the only play to make a profit. Okay?
Wow.
And so what happens, $12.9 million, and this was a limited run. But again, you know, but Black folks, we've always been the type of people that, I mean, I know when I was a kid, man, we used to put on our little shows and our little productions and whatnot and dance in the street. And I remember when I was a kid, my mother, she would have her little friends would come by and she would say, Terry, do the James Brown dance. And I would do the James Brown dance, man, and sliding across the floor, and they would give me money.
Mm.
You know, this is cool. And again, putting on a show, I look at and Denzel Washington. I know you made a lot of money with the movies, but you know what? That's Hollywood directing or control. When he does a Broadway show, and especially it's produced by Black people, that's all gravy for Denzel. The same thing with Sean Combs, also known as P. Diddy. He did a play on Broadway called A Raising the Sun. You know, and it's so funny. Because Lorraine Hansberry, back in the day, she was the first Black woman to have a play on Broadway. Now you look at The Mountaintop, it's written by a Black woman. You look at Stick Fly, it's written by a Black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happens, and Porgy and Bess is by two white writers, George Gershwin. But the thing is that a lot of times, man, we have to really look at what's going on and how we can make money, because it's about the economy. But you know what? But for a future thinking person, the economy has really no bearing on what you're doing, because you're thinking miles and miles ahead. No, nobody can even touch you because you're out in the front, you know? And what happens is that we're looking at Broadway. Very soon there'll be more Broadway shows that are coming out. And the people will come out and support these things because, again, these are, again, examples of our excellence. I think, again, in the 60 philosophy, excellence, you know, E for excellence. You have to find your level of excellence. And, again, I think that means finding the genius inside yourself. So we got to go for the best that we have inside ourselves. And really, that's why you can't be around mediocre people. You know, because, I mean, It's boring and it brings you down. If anything, you bring them up to your level by your energy and your passion, because it's so easy to sit around and be mournful and saying, oh, poor as me, have your pity party. But to really be victorious in 2012 is to say, well, you know what? I know what kind of life that I want, and I'm moving toward that life. A lot of people claim they don't understand visualization, But every woman that is listening understands visualization. Visualization is you going to a store and seeing yourself in that dress that you haven't bought. Okay, you see yourself in that dress. You see yourself in that dress with those shoes, with those stockings, with that hairdo. That's visualization. You know, before I ever stepped into a classroom, I visualized myself in a classroom teaching. That's when kids grow up, little girls say, well, you know what, when I was a kid, I used to have my dolls, I used to sit my dolls on a sofa, and I would get in front of my dolls, and I would teach my dolls. I knew when I was a kid, I used to live in newspapers, I used to shine shoes, anything I can do to make some money for myself. And I remember I was reading this magazine, and they had this little 8mm movie projector, and I sit away from this movie projector, and I got the projector, and they gave me these little films like Abbott and Costello, some of the cartoons and whatnot, and I would invite the kids from the neighborhood to come and, you know, watch these films with me. So I would be on top of my mother's dresser, and I would show these images of these films on the wall. And they would come in, and I know for myself, and I look back on my own life and whatnot, and I realized that was really the essence of something. I've always wanted to be in a position to show people new things. I introduce new things to them, whether it be books or music or magazines and whatnot. I always wanted to be that guy to say, hey, you know what? No, what's happening? When I was in high school, the kids on Friday would come to me and ask me, say, Terry, what movie should we go see this weekend? What's good? And because I was the only one who read the newspaper, I would tell them what is good in the movies. And then they would go to movies, and I would come with my girlfriend, and we'd walk into movies and say, hey, man, this is a good one. You know, man, you really recommend it. But sometimes I would recommend something that wasn't so good, man, and, you know, I would catch hell for that. It's the thing is that people identify me with that, and that's why, you know, it's so funny. When I started working at Union County College in 1973, I wasn't a college professor. As a matter of fact, that was the first thing on my mind, because I felt for myself that professors didn't make any money. The money was in administration, so I was a college administrator when I first got to Union County College, and that's where I made my money, not in teaching. But I remember when I first started working at the college, my mother said, you're a teacher at the college. I said, no, I'm not. I'm a college administrator. She couldn't put her mind around that. She said, no, you're a teacher. And I kept on trying to correct her, but I realized that's my mom. You know, let it go.
Don't drive.
So funny, Lisa, no. And it's so funny because my mom, you know, I remember when I was a kid, almost tell the kids, you know, make sure when you go out, you know, outside, you know, make sure you have clean underwear on. And I can never understand this. I mean, what's that? What's the big thing about that? And I was too intimidated to ask my mother when I was a kid. And as I got older, I got a little bolder. I said, why, you always tell us that we should get clean underwear. I mean, nobody's going to see my underwear. She said, but that's beside the point. Because if you get in a car accident, or if you get in some kind of accident, then, you know, you'll be okay. And I'm thinking, you know, if I get, like for example, if I get hit by a bus. But if I get hit by a bus, I mean, the last thing I would be concerned about is my underwear. That's probably the first thing to go. And she said, no. Then you have to do that. So I said, okay, Mom, you're right. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. You're right. I'll make sure I have clean underwear on. And then, and lo and behold, Lisa, I was in my office one day. Again, like, I tell you what, people got to stop bothering me. You know, I'm minding my own business. I'm sitting in my office. I'm a college counselor. I'm an EOF counselor. I mean, I said EOF counselor. And one of my friends from the English department, guys, white guys, two at that time it was two hip white guys. One was the chairman of the English department, and another was a teacher. I remember Dr. Will, who passed not too long ago, was a hip white guy. He was the English, he was the chairperson, and another hip white guy, almost hippie type guy, Dr. Ashby, was a English professor there. And he came to my office. He said, Terry. I said, yeah. He said, would you do me a favor? I said, yeah. What can I do for you? He said, my schedule is just too. I got too many courses this semester, and I'm wondering, would you teach one of my courses? And I never taught a course before in my life, but I said, yeah, why not? He said, well, look, the course starts Monday, and now this is Friday, Lisa. They said, throw it to us Monday. You have to get some books and whatnot. Make a long story short, I go home to my wife and I said, you know, I'm going to be teaching at Union County College again Monday. She said, you can't teach at Union County College. She said, you haven't finished your master's. You know, you haven't done this. You haven't done that. I said, no, but Dr. Ashby thinks that I can like I can be a good teacher. And so, and the college is willing to give me some time to teach because it's an 8 o'clock class in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so I go in there the first day, I go into class, I'm new, there's me, and there's 30 white kids. I said, wow, you know, this should be interesting. So I said, I tell them, you got to help me. So to make a long story short, I said, that's when I got the idea. I said, look, I don't know you. You don't know me, but maybe I think music. So why don't you do this? Would you please go to your favorite artist, whoever it is, and I want you to bring in the artist's lyrics, and we'll read those lyrics as poetry. Make a long story short, so we did that. So I got a chance to know their names and what's their favorite music and what's in that music. And I took that to develop the whole rap music and literature program. But getting back to this class, so we just got together every Monday, and we started having fun. We started really enjoying ourselves and together, learning together. And then Dr. Ashby came in, I would say maybe a couple of months into the semester, to actually evaluate me. And so he comes in, he sits in the back of the room. I'm with my students. We're having a ball, man. We're having a ball. We forgot that he was in there because we're having fun. We're joking with each other, and I'm talking about theater. Now, as a matter of fact, another guy was teaching Death of the Sales by Arthur Miller. Because I've always been a big theater person. I took that thing apart, put it back together, and everybody had a good time. And then after the class was over, he came up to me. He said, you know what? He said, man, you have a knack for this. You're natural at this. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, you really can pursue this. And then, you know, there's no money in teaching. I don't want to teach. I mean, I'll do that as a hobby, as a part-time thing, but no, I can't see investing money in this, man. It's just not worth it. And, of course, a lot of times we don't know what we're talking about. And so it's so funny. It started in 1986, and I never looked back. I got a chance to teach over at many different colleges and universities and that kind of thing. But the thing is that I think that you really have to understand that God is at work.
Yeah.
No matter how much you think that you know, how much you think it should be, you know, it's so funny because, you know, and I always say that God has a plan for me, and that's why I love your first book. I'll never forget that, man. It says, you know, God's plan for my success, and he does have a plan for us because I tell you, Lisa, I feel blessed to be with you on this radio program, but just to be alive because most everybody knows my story. My mother had me when she was 14 years old. And I'm saying, and I know, there was discussions of maybe not having this baby, maybe having to abort this baby. Mm-hmm. You know what, you're only 14, you're unmarried, you know, you're 14, your boyfriend is 19, and he doesn't have a job. He lived with his parents, so there's no way that you can really support this kid the way he's supposed to be supported. Make a long story short, my mother said, look, I'm keeping my son, and I was raised by my mother and my grandmother. I never lived with my father. Me and my father had a great relationship. I never lived with him, but my role model was my uncle, who was a hard guy, but he also was an artist, and he loved to read. He never became a writer, but I felt that he could if he wanted to. But to make a long story short, so I was always surrounded by supportive people. I mean, my grandmother loved me to death, man. I could do no wrong with my grandmother. Even my errors were corrected in terms of her. But I would fall down, and she would praise that. Look how he fell. Look at my baby. My little man, he fell down, but he okay. He said, you ain't going to cry. No, Grandma. I'm not going to cry. I'm okay. He said, ain't he something? I mean, she made me feel like a prince. The point is, man, you know, again, you know, I always say, you know, look, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. There's some places I go, man, they greet me with open arms. And in some place, I mean, I can be invisible. But I go to places that celebrate me rather than places that tolerate me because, again, that's where I find who I am. And sometimes I think people can tell you what you are more so you are because they always call me professor as a joke because I always wear glasses and whatnot. But sometimes, you know, you can speak things into reality. When you make those affirmations, you know, I will lose 10 pounds this month. I will lose 10 pounds this month. And you put that in your consciousness. And you'll find you're eating differently. You'll find that food is not as important as you thought it was. Because when you look in that mirror and you see those pounds drop away, and you say, you know what, I look good in this. And when you look good, you feel good. And when you feel good, you're willing to take more chances. I think that's one of the things about this whole 2012. I say that, you know what, we want to be better leaders, and we want to take more chances. And we want to get bigger rewards. I think that's the way it is working. I mean, it's that circulation of ideas, that circulation of thoughts and feelings and coming back to you in ways that you could not imagine. Because you know what? I don't know what 2012 holds, but you know what? I know it's going to be 10 times better than 2011 because I have so much clarity right now. I have clarity that I never had before, and I think it's because you helped me. You helped me to share my thoughts, and I think when you share your thoughts, you see what you're thinking. You know, Therese say you should dream with your eyes open, but I think a lot of times you should talk and see what you're thinking. It's like, you know, I think sometimes life is a movie, and as we speak, we have little subtitles, and sometimes you need to read those subtitles. I tell some of my students, especially my ESL students, my foreign language students, I said, if you want to improve your reading, you need to watch your favorite movie with the subtitles on. Because as you watch the movie, you know the story, and you know most of the dialogue, but when you see the dialogue in those subtitles, it helps you a little bit better. And I think sometimes we need to see the subtitles of our life because, you know what, I know for myself, I keep on thinking about this whole thing of the Broadway shows and whatnot, and I know that that's going to have some kind of fruition in my life because, again, they say be careful what you wish for because it comes true. I think, again, what you think becomes reality. And, again, I think the whole thing about 2012 is our thinking. I think, you know, we have to think better thoughts to have a better life because, again, the whole thing, and this was, again, in the early 1900s, Napoleon Hill, think and grow rich. Well, I think that still applies. Your thinking is going to determine what your future reality would be.
Well, in the chat room, just to let you know, we have a few chats there, but Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, the one I was telling you about over in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's been listening the entire show. He's he does audio books and audio movies, and, you know, he's worked with some of the biggest names in Hollywood, where he is originally from, and, you know, Mission Impossible, and he's worked with actors, and just he's done so many phenomenal things. But he's also done a whole series right here on the Coach LaLisa show last year in February for the entire month of February every Monday. But he had this to say in the chat room. He said that he also had the same 8 millimeter.
Oh, what?
Abbott and Costello films that he showed to his friends too, and he said exactly. So to that point, you were making at that point. And he also thought that you had a great story about getting your play tickets.
Wow.
Yes, a miracle. So he's awesome. I mean, Paul Kiriazzi, I'm telling you, he is really, really a very phenomenal man. But we also want to welcome Jessica Martinez to the Coach LaLisa show as well. Well, I know Paul is used to us being here each and every day. That's what the format was, but we had to, you know, sort of move to a new format because of all the coaching and the other things that, you know, we're doing and the traveling. So now we just come on once a week on the week morning. That's a Tuesday morning where we feature Mr. Terry Benjamin. And, you know, possibly as we, you know, go forward, we'll feature other people as well, people like Mr. Paul. But we'll also be coming on Thursday, starting January 1st, starting next month. Next month and next year. So, and next week. Starting next week, we will be coming on also on a Thursday night at, I believe it's at 9, but I will definitely post it on Facebook. But I think that'll be morning time then for Paul. So right now it's at night. So I just wanted to get that in and welcome to the other guests in the chat room. And so Paul says, yeah, now I understand, Tuesday morning. Yeah, Paul, we've been playing some archives here and there, but we're just going to be doing Tuesday morning. For the past at least month or so, we've been featuring Terry Benjamin and his topic. He has this big topic. He has a movie that he's also doing, Sexy at 60. And his main subject is lifelong healthy aging and lifelong learning. So he's, Terry is also, you can find him on Facebook, Paul. Definitely you want to connect, Terry. But that was one thing I caught, Terry, that you said when you started working over there at the college in 73. I was like, wow, I was just in the 11th grade. So awesome. But so you've been doing this great work for a long time, and certainly you've helped so many people with the message about having a visualization, seeing what it is that you want, actually living it, actually living what it is that you want to do, and just showing up for yourself, believing that it can happen for you, and just doing good. You said just doing good for people. Good things will come to you. And if you already have the vision of the good things that you want to come to you, it just makes it even better. You know, if you do good, good things are going to come to you anyway. But why not have a vision of the good things that you want to come to you? And guess what? They will.
No doubt about it. But that's why I think, in the final analysis, I think that, my mother says this, and again, now my mother doesn't have any degrees, but she's the wisest person I ever met, and she's my mentor. And I just want to leave on this note. My mother always says here, and this is Carol Benjamin, and she said, you know what? If you see better, you do better. Simple as that.
Mm.
You see better, you do better.
Same thing. And like you said, in the Proverbs, it talks about, as a man thinketh, so is he. It talks about I can't think of it right now, it's slipping me, but where it talks about write the vision and make it plain. You know, you got to have
the vision.
Well, just want to get Terry's last.
Without vision, the people perish. That's in the Bible, too.
Now. Exactly. Yeah, Terry Benjamin. I wanted to give out you. Terry Benjamin. Paul wanted your last name. But, yes, he's there on Facebook, him and Tobias, his partner, Tobias Fox. No, what's his last name?
Yeah, Tobias Fox. That's it. Yeah.
Tobias Fox. And Paul, Terry had a wonderful, wonderful book conference here, and I met Terry back in 1991 when I was going to Union County to register as a student. For my first year in junior college, back in 1991, so 20 years ago. And as a matter of fact, in January, about 20 years ago. So that is a long time to me anyway. And we only have a few minutes left to the show, but we're certainly excited, because the next time, Terry, that you come on the show, it will be 2012, full-fledged.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it.
I hope you're preparing something very powerful for the people. And when I heard you talk about your Kindle, it just made me think, too, that, you know what? Yes, it may seem like it's a gift for you, but it's really for all of us, because those books that you download, you read, you share that information, powerful, powerful information with the people who tune into this radio broadcast. They learn so much from the books that you're reading, and so we're glad whoever gave you that gave it to you.
My fam.
So you can keep us for it. And so we really appreciate the work that you're doing here on the broadcast, and we appreciate each and every person that has listened. We have about 90 seconds left to the show. We certainly wish everyone a safe, prosperous, peaceful, abundant New Year's Eve and New Year's, and we will definitely pray to see you back here on Tuesday morning at 8:00. Forget, we are moving to a new format, but I will be posting it. Please connect with us on Facebook to get the new times. But Terry, wow, congratulations, and thank you for that awesome topic today.
Oh, thank you. I think, we're doing some great work together, and I want to continue that in 2012,
Yes, and you know what, people, I want to say this. Don't let me forget to say this. Don't just create a resolution, but create an affirmation. What you want. Affirm it, see it, speak it, talk about it, walk it out, and you will see your accomplishments, and you won't be frustrated at the end of the year with, what did I get done? You'll get it done, and you'll be happy. Paul also said, so happy to luck the important episode of the show today. Thank you so much,
Paul.
Yeah, you haven't seen anything yet, Terry. Wait until he calls into the show. He's just absolutely phenomenal. And those who were, yes, those who were listening by your phone and the iPod and other ways that you can listen, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You can, if you missed any of the show, go back and listen to the archives. If you want to listen to any of the previous episodes of Terry, just go and Professor Terry, author, writer, his play, his movie is coming out, Sexy at 60, I can't wait. You want to catch him, you can go listen to the archives on any Tuesday for about the past month or so. But we thank you, and we look forward to another episode of the Coach Larissa Show. Again, Terry, can't thank you enough.
Thank you even more.
All right, everyone, bless and enjoy the rest of your holiday, vacation, or whatever it is that you're on, getting ready for the new year. This is going to be a very, very important week, everyone. Important, important. So we're going to go at it with all we got. See you until next time.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Larissa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Larissa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Larissa J. Williams.